This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Ever-living, ever-loving God, grant us grace to worship you as you are rather than as we would have you to be. Give us the courage to see you as you would appear to us, rather than as we would like you to look. Guide us into the depths of your mystery. Help us to scale the heights of your glory. In all things, help us to love you as our God, our guide, and our Savior. Amen. Happy St. Valentine's Day. In doing my sermon research, I always run across these little tidbits that I find amusing, and one that stuck out is sort of like a David Letterman top 10 list. And this one is basically, if you're going on a Valentine's date tonight, these are things not to say to your date. I really don't like this restaurant that much, but I wanted to use this 2-for-1 coupon before it expired. You'll love this place. I used to come here all the time with my ex. I never said you need a nose job. I just said it wouldn't hurt to consider it. I really feel that I've grown in the past few years. Used to be, I wouldn't have given someone like you a second look. It's been tough, but I've come to accept that most people I date just won't be as smart as I am. Not exactly putting your best face forward, is it? The gospel today has a lot to say about face. The Old Testament reading that you might read as you go home today out of your bulletin that corresponds today from the book of Exodus has to do with Moses' face as well, gleaming so much with the glory of God that he puts a veil over his face. We usually look at this particular transfiguration reading, especially in Luke's gospel, as something that we come to understand is an experience for Jesus to be given strength for the journey that is ahead. Because immediately after this, Luke tells us Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem, meaning now he is going towards the cross and to his suffering and death. And this experience of the Father on the top of the mountaintop is to give him strength so that when times get tough, he can think back on that and remember and be strong. That's a very valid and important lesson for us. The mountaintop experiences God gives us are just for that, not so that we just rest our sweet selves on top of that mountain and don't move on, but that we hang on to them in our heart and our mind so that when times are tough in the valleys of our life, we will have the grace and the strength to move forward. But today I want to talk more about this whole face idea. There is in the second reading that's appointed for today that comes to us from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. He's talking about this same theme, and he says this: all of us will, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. When Paul talks about this, with this Moses and Jesus transfiguration, he doesn't talk about Moses and Jesus transformation as much as he talks about our transformation. Seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. It started me on this whole reflection and doing a little research on mirrors. And I found out that mirrors have existed, as I guess we all knew anyway, existed from the beginning of recorded history. We have that whole story of Narcissus and him looking into the pond and falling in love with his image. And of course, that term narcissistic comes down to us to this day. We also know that in the old days, they would polish stone such that there would be some reflection, so that in some way, even though it was distorted, they saw an image of themselves. But I was surprised to see that actual glass mirrors that we have didn't get invented until the 16th century. Because the first thing they had to do was figure out how to make glass perfectly flat. And once they were able to do that, they came along with the silica and the other stuff that they put in to make a mirror, and they were able to have a surface that was flat so it all reflected light in the same way all across that plane, and you were able to get a clear image of yourself. Now, it kind of surprised me to think Jesus never saw himself. Clearly. Perhaps he looked into the Lake Gennesaret or the Sea of Galilee and saw his reflection there in the sunlight somewhat, but it would have been distorted. But he would have had to have been dependent upon what other people told him he looked like to understand it. Face. What do we like to put forward as our face? We hear a lot these past few weeks about face. I don't think there's any of us who've watched the news the last couple of weeks who didn't see the CEO of Toyota, the grandson of the founder of that great company that bases its product on quality, trying to, as the Asians do, save face. My gosh, this company that had just been the most quality company of all now has all of these problems. And he tries to save face. We go out and we set up our Facebook pages, don't we? It's a way we put our face forward. And in the anonymity of it, you can put yourself out there any way you want to. The way you want yourself to be depicted, that's what you put out there. Somebody else can write on your wall and they can add to the way that you are looked at or depicted. And unfortunately, we know too well of these smear things that have happened and continue to happen where young people are just devastated, and it can have tragic consequences with the way somebody tries to depict your face. So this whole idea of face is fascinating, especially as we look at these particular readings. The book of Exodus tells us that Moses veiled his face because in that time they believed if you saw the glory of God, if you saw the face of God, you would die. I don't think I'd want to look at his face then either. However, Moses has gone up the mountain. He spent 40 days, 40 nights in prayer. He comes down. And now, in a special way, God has given him this glory that now he is to be the mediator. He is to be the one that communicates that presence to the people. It's like there is a complete change in the way God is going to relate to God's people now. That God is not going to be as hidden a God. That in some way they are to see the glory of God in the face of each other. That's a radical change, radically different. Now, if you jump to what's going on in this gospel reading we just heard of the transfiguration, sometimes I think now, maybe the reason Peter, James, and John wanted to stand up there on the mountain and build a shrine and just sort of stay there and not go back to reality is because they were scared to death. Because in some way, if Moses goes up a mountain and has the experience of God, and in some way he is transformed and has somewhat of the appearance of God in his face and inside of him, and if Jesus has that experience of his Father, and in some way he is transformed, and at the same time has some of the glory of God in him, well then, likewise, if that's being shared with us, guess what? We're going to have that same glory revealed in us. And I think perhaps for Peter, James, and John, it scared them to death. I'm not ready for this, Jesus. Let's just stay up here on the mountain. That, my friends, I think is the greatest gift that we have been given. It is the gift that we truly celebrate on this Valentine's Day with those that we call beloved. It is the gift we are given on this Feast of the Transfiguration, that in some real sense, the glory of God is revealed in us, and we have the ability and the call to recognize that in each other. Not only what we are, but what we can become. That's an incredible gift. Last night, here in this church, as we do every year, we did the renewal of marriage vows for all married couples. And I drive the ushers crazy because I made them leave this runner down for all of the services. Because I want everybody to walk on this runner. Whether you're married, whether you're divorced, whether you're single, whether you're not possibly interested in getting married, whether you're young or old or whatever, because it is a symbol for us of Christ who chooses us as his bride. That there is a God whose glory and love is so great that he would choose each and every one of us to be his bride or his groom, as your sex may be, to be faithful to us as long as we both shall live. That's pretty amazing that a God loves us that much. And it's always amazing to me when we come in here and we have just rolled out the runner and the first person comes into church, and it's like they get to the door, and it's we should video it next year, because they get there, it's like, I don't want to walk on that. So they kind of tiptoe around it and try to do this tightrope right down the side there until finally they will trip into it, and then we get a few scuff marks on it, and as people more and more come in, they finally get the idea, yeah, I guess we're supposed to walk on it. Well, we're all called to walk down the aisle with Jesus. It's not just that it's me and Jesus and nobody else. None of this Jesus is my girlfriend stuff. But it is truly a reflection of how much we are loved by him. We had a great coincidence, and it's as if Father William and I had planned this at the earlier services. But, you know, we switched the lectionary, and this Gospel of the Transfiguration used to just end with that story of the Transfiguration. We never got that next story. And I forgot to tell Father William, but to read the end of that story in the big missal here, you have to turn the page. And he forgot to turn the page. And the whole key to the Transfiguration story, the reason we changed the lectionary, is to get this story, because it puts it all into context. You know, it's like that. I don't know if you remember this book when you were little, but my daughter, her favorite book growing up that to read to her at night was Grover, and there's a monster at the end of this book. Ever heard of that? And it's, please don't turn the page. Don't turn the page. There's a monster at the end of this book. And of course, what does dad or mom do? They turn the page. You turn the page! Well, we got to turn the page, because this is where it all comes to being. He brings them down off the mountain. Now you go back to reality. Now we're going to put into practice what transpired up there on the mountain. And this father whose son is sick, what does he say to Jesus? Come look at my son. Capture the impact of those words. He doesn't say, make this foaming at the mouth go away. He doesn't say, just make these convulsions go away. He just says, just come look at my son. There is something in that face. There is something in that glory of just looking at that other person as another person, as who they are and who they can be, that can bring tremendous healing. And they didn't get it. This is the glory to which we are called. This is that mirror that we are being called to become. It is a great gift. C.S. Lewis, who is one of the greatest Christian writers ever to exist, wrote a book called The Weight of Glory. And you look at that title and you think, well, how can glory be heavy? But the whole point of his book is this. The weight of glory, it is heavy because, he says, if we were ever to truly realize the glory and the beauty inside a single human being, it would cause us to fall down on our knees and to worship the God that created that person. Is that not what we celebrate with Valentine's Day? To tell those that we love, they are beautiful. That the way in which God has created them and the potentiality that God has given to them to become is unlimited. And the one who takes us as bride or groom continues to give us that message so that we can be that light to reveal that glory one to another. Let's celebrate that today. And we take that to our prayer.